In our previous lecture, we looked at the doctrine of judicial precedence, and we made the point that judicial precedence must be understood in the context of the court system, the context of case law, in the context of the common law, in the context of loosely referred to judge-made law. So this today, we're going to be looking at the systems of court. And what we have said is that the court is hierarchical in structure. And by hierarchical in structure, we mean it moves from the top down to the bottom. The courts at the top bind the courts below. The courts below do not bind the courts above. So let's start with the top. So at the top of our judicial system sits two courts. The Caribbean Court of Justice in its original jurisdiction and the Privy Council in its appellate jurisdiction. And in jurisdictions such as Guyana, the Caribbean Court of Justice is their final court of appeal as well as a court of original jurisdiction. And as you know, the Caribbean Court of Justice sits physically in Trinidad and Tobago. So below the Caribbean Court of Justice and the Privy Council sits the Court of Appeal in the case of Jamaica. Below the Court of Appeal sits the Supreme Court. Below the Supreme Court sits the Parish Courts. And below the Parish Courts sits the Petty Sessions Courts. And then there are other courts that we will be looking at. But that is the main flow of the judicial system in Jamaica. So in looking at the judicial system, having established that we move from the top to the bottom, we're going to go the reverse, and we're going to start at the bottom and go right up to the top. So again, for clarity, the courts at the top of the judicial system are the Caribbean Court of Justice in its original jurisdiction, the Privy Council in its appellate jurisdiction, the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeal, the Supreme Court, the Parish Court, and then the Petty Sessions Court. So we're going to look at each court and look at how the courts are organized. So we're going to look at the matters that the courts deal with, the personnel that man the courts. We're going to look at the where the appeal from those courts lay or lie. So starting with the Court of Petty Session, and the Court of Petty Session, as it suggests, is really about matters that are not very serious, right? So the Petty Sessions Court is manned, and before we get there, let us talk a little bit more about the different courts, right? So you have Petty Sessions, you have Parish Court, and then at the Parish Court level, you have the Family Court, you have Juvenile Court, you have the Traffic Court, you have the Coroner's Court, you have the Gun Court, and that Gun Court deals with preliminary inquiries. And you remember that we made reference to Innes and the Queen that established the separations of power, where there was an attempt by the government in the 1970s to give powers to resident magistrate judges that were reserved by the Constitution for Supreme Court judges. So there's the Drug Court, and then of course there's the Small Claims Court. Then we have the Supreme Court, which is above the Parish Court. And at the Supreme Court level, there's a Civil Division, there's a Criminal Division, there's a Gun Court Division, there's a Commercial Division, there's a Revenue Division, there's the Review Division, and the Constitutional Court, and then the Circuit Court. And the Supreme Court is very important in the scheme of things because it is the Supreme Court that the matters relating to constitutional challenges are brought. So I shared in your WhatsApp group an article that appeared in, I think, the Gleaner, where the court had ruled that the state of emergencies in relation to five men were unconstitutional. That matter was heard in the Supreme Court. And then, of course, there's the Court of Appeal, which is above the Supreme Court. And then above the Supreme Court is the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council. And at some point in our evolution, that will be replaced by the Caribbean Court of Justice. As it stands, the Caribbean Court of Justice now occupies the same position as the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council at the apex of our judiciary, but in the context of Jamaica, it has only original jurisdiction, which means that any dispute arising under the Treaty of Chagaramas, which establishes the Caribbean community, that would be determined by the Caribbean Court of Justice, as that would be the first call to resolve those matters. So we are aware of the celebrated case involving Shanique Myrie, who was turned back from Barbados but was subjected to dehumanizing cavity searches. That matter that explored the right to travel throughout the region was determined in the Caribbean Court of Justice because it touched and concerned the Treaty of Chagaramas. So then, of course, in the appellate jurisdiction, we have the Privy Council. So what it means is that any matter arising out of any other courts of Jamaica, except from the Caribbean Court of Justice, those matters will go on appeal to the Privy Council, and the Privy Council will decide whether they were properly adjudicated in the lower courts. So we're going to go now and going to start at the bottom and then work our way up to the top, looking at the judicial system. So here we have the Court of Petty Session, and the Court of Petty Session is manned, or womaned, if you will, by justices of the peace, and there are usually two who are sitting. And as it says, it is a Court of Petty Session, so these are not very serious offences. And the jurisdiction of the court is determined by the Justices of the Peace Jurisdiction Act, and this confers the powers on justices of the peace, and two justices of the peace sitting have the power of a resident magistrate. The Petty Sessions Court can also be presided over by a parish judge, or what was formerly called a resident magistrate, and these possible by the Judicature Resident Magistrates Act of 1928. And these are ordinary legislations, and these are ordinary courts, right? So the Court of Petty Sessions can also be presided over by two justices of the peace and the resident magistrate sitting together. So you have a panel of three, and in that case, the resident magistrate will chair the panel, because obviously the resident magistrate would be senior to the justices of the peace. Then we have the powers of the Petty Sessions Court. What do the justices, or what matters are the justices able to deal with? So they can exercise summary criminal jurisdiction over minor offenses. So if persons were behaving disorderly, persons were using indecent language, if persons have attacked the police, then those matters can be brought to the Petty Sessions Court. Small debt can also be brought there, even though at the parish level there's a small claims court. And of course, if there's any law relating to public order and decency, somebody said that the urinating on the side of the road, those persons could be brought before the Petty Sessions Court as well. And of course, if there are minor criminal matters such as stone throwing or threats, and as I had said before, if persons were to be resisting arrest, or if you had the misfortune of assaulting a police officer, you may end up before the Petty Sessions Court. So the Petty Sessions Court, in addition to hearing those matters, can issue summons to witnesses, issue warrants for arrest, issue search warrants under certain statutory provisions, grant bail to persons charged with criminal offences once that is not treason, and make maintenance orders. And if the person goes to the Petty Sessions Court and they are not satisfied with the outcome of their matter, then they can appeal to the Circuit Court if it is a question of law, or they can appeal to a judge in the Supreme court. And if it is that their appeal is not successful at the circuit court or at the Supreme Court, then they can appeal to the Court of Appeal if it is that they are appealing on the basis of an error in law. And if it is that they are appealing on the basis of an error in law, they can also appeal directly from the Petty Sessions Court to the Court of Appeal. So above the Petty Sessions Court is the Parish Court, and the Parish Court was formerly called the Resident Magistrates Court. So if you hear me speaking about Resident Magistrates Court and Parish Court, they are one and the same. And of course, the Resident Magistrates Court, now the Parish Court, was established by the Judicature Resident Magistrate Court Act of 1928, and it is an inferior court of record, which allows for the appointment by the Chief Justice of 46 resident magistrates and not less than 9 resident magistrates. But I must point out that since 2016, there has also been a chief parish judge. So that is to assist in improving the administration of justice, right? But the Chief Justice remains the person who is in charge of the judiciary as a whole. So at the parish court level, you find a parish court in every parish capital. And in the case of Kingston and St. Andrew, there are several divisions of the parish court. So you have in Hertfordshire the criminal division. In Sutton Street, you have the civil division. In along Camp Road, Arnold Road area there, you have the traffic division. And on Duke Street, you have the family division. And I think also on Duke Street, you'll find the coroner's court there as well, which is also a parish court. And in every other capital, all these different divisions of the court sit in the same place. So the resident magistrate or the parish judge is the judicial officer, and this person is usually from the bar, but now on the bench. They would have spent at least 5 years practicing law or having been called to the bar, and then they will apply and be selected and trained as judges, and they're assisted by a clerk of the court and a bailiff. The clerk of the court is usually an attorney at law, and the deputy clerk may not be an attorney at law, but certainly has legal training. So in the case of the parish judge or the parish court, one judge sits alone. So unlike the petty sessions court, where you have two JPs and you may have two JPs and a RM or a parish judge, you have one single judge who sits and hear all matters. And as I've said, in 2016, the Judicature Resident Magistrates Amendment and Change of Name Act was passed, and it changed the name of the judges from resident magistrates to parish judges. But it also conferred on them status as full members of the judicial branch of the judiciary. Now, the parish court has jurisdiction over a wide range of criminal and civil matters. In criminal matters, the trial of summary offences such as possession of dangerous drugs, unlawful gaming, unlawful use of motor vehicle, using motor vehicle without insurance, and the full gamut of traffic matters. And where civil matters are concerned, or where criminal matters are concerned, then if the person assault another with the intent to commit grievous bodily harm, wounding, forgery, criminal damage. So the more serious offenses are heard in the parish court. Now, you would remember that we looked at Hines and the Queen 1977 case that challenged the establishment of the gun court division of the resident magistrate on the basis that it was attempting to give parish judges the same powers as Supreme Court judges.
and that was struck down as being unconstitutional. When in that context, the only remnant of the gun court matters that remained with the parish court is what they call preliminary examinations, no committal proceedings. So the parish court judges will only determine whether there's a prima facie case to be referred to the circuit court or the gun court division of the Supreme Court. They will not try and hear the matter. Then the parish court is also responsible for civil matters, which are non-criminal matters, or tortious matters, which are non-criminal quasi-civil matters. So here, claims under the Registration of Titles Act, as long as the value is not above $450,000, and if there is a dispute in relation to land, as long as the value of that land is $75,000, if there is a probate or administration matter, then once the value of the estate is $1.5 million, the parish court can hear that. And if there is a common law claim, whether it's in tort or in contract, up to $250,000. Now, these are not cast in stone. The Minister of Justice usually has the discretion to, by ministerial order, raise these tariff lines to give the parish court greater jurisdiction to hear matters in particular issues. So, for example, the parish court can also hear with habeas corpus if somebody has been detained without bail for an extended period of time. You can go to the parish court and make a bail application or make a writ of habeas corpus application where you are asking the court to instruct the police to either charge the person or release them or bring them before the court if they have in fact been charged. And if it is that you are going to mount a constitutional challenge, as Attorney Clark did in the case of the five men who were detained for an extended period of time under this state of emergency, then that matter would be heard in the Supreme Court. The civil division of the parish court can also order various injunctions, whether it is mandatory injunction, prohibitory injunction, or a mandamus or certiorari injunctions. The parish court is able to do that. And of course, if a debt or damages exceeding $12,500 is to come before the parish court, that matter is going to be referred to the Supreme Court. So apart from exercising jurisdiction in criminal cases, parish judges preside over a range of courts at the parish level. So other parish courts are, and I outlined some to you already, the coroner's court. So if somebody dies suddenly, or if a member of the public is killed by the police or the security forces under suspicious circumstances, then a coroner's inquest will be held into the death of that person to determine whether any member of the force is criminally liable. And if so, then the matter will be referred to the relevant court for trial. If not, then the matter will be dismissed. Then there's a traffic court, which speaks for itself. There's a drug court that deals with persons who have become addicted to drugs or have committed drug offenses. And this court is particularly unique in the sense that it allows for non-custodial sentences where persons are on drugs as addicts. Then there's a tax court, there's a family court, there's a juvenile court, and all of these are at the parish level, and these are parish divisions. So as we have said, if there is a civil matter at the parish level, then if that claim is $250,000, then it is within the jurisdiction of the parish court. And as I've said, from time to time, these fees may be increased by way of ministerial order, depending on the volume of cases that come before the court. Then, of course, if you have a matter at the parish court and you are dissatisfied with the outcome, then your appeal lies with the Court of Appeal in civil matters if it is an issue of law, and in criminal matters on issues of law and on fact, it also rests with the Court of Appeal. The matters can leave from the parish court and go to the Supreme Court for appeal. If, for instance, a bail application has been denied at the parish court level, then once the attorney indicates that they're going to appeal and ask for the reasons of the refusal to be put in writing, that attorney can take the matter to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is the court that is above the parish court. And here now, we get into the Court of Superior Record. So the Supreme Court is the first Court of Superior Record, and it is established by virtue of Section 97 of the Constitution as a Superior Court of Record. So Section 97 of the Constitution, Chapter 7, deals with the judiciary, and it begins with the Court of Appeal. Section 97, Subsection 1 says, there shall be a Supreme Court for Jamaica, which shall have such jurisdiction and powers as may be conferred upon it by this Constitution or any other law. Section 2 goes on to say that the judges of the Supreme Court shall be Chief Justice, a senior puny judge, and such number of other puny judges as may be prescribed by Parliament. So the Chief Justice is the head of the judiciary, and that person is presides in the Supreme Court, but they also serve on the Court of Appeal at the invitation of the President of the Court of Appeal. So subsection 3 of Section 97 tells us that no office of judge of the Supreme Court shall be abolished while there is a substantive office holder. Subsection 4 tells us that the Supreme Court shall be a superior court of record, and save otherwise provided by Parliament, shall have all the powers of such court. So, as I have said, the composition of the Supreme Court is that it is comprised of the Chief Justice, and the Chief Justice is appointed by the Governor General on the recommendation of the Prime Minister after consultation with the leader of the opposition. And then the senior puny judges and other puny judges are appointed by the Governor General on the advice of the Judicial Services Commission, which also is a creature of the Constitution. So it's important to note that in the context of Jamaica, there's limited political interference in relation to the appointment of judges, save and except that the head of the judiciary is appointed by the Prime Minister, is appointed by the Governor General based on the recommendation of the Prime Minister after consultation with the leader of the opposition. So one could say that there is some degree of bipartisanship. One could make the argument. Unlike in the United States, where now there's a battle on to replace a Supreme Court justice who recently passed, and the president is pressing ahead to make that appointment before the November 4 general elections. So the Judicature Supreme Court Act of 1880 sets out the jurisdiction of the court, the jurisdiction and the operations of the Supreme Court. So I want you to understand what is happening here. So the Supreme Court is a constitutional court. It is a constitutional creature, but it is also a creature of ordinary legislation. And the Judicature Supreme Court Act of 1880 tells us the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court and the operations of the Supreme Court. It is interesting to note that this act predates independence, so that the Supreme Court has been around from 1880. It long predates the independence of 1962, and therefore one could say it is a legacy of our colonial past. In terms of its institution, that is, not necessarily in terms of its operation. So the Supreme Court Act of
1880 allows for appointment of 16 puny judges and not more than 24 puny judges. And it operates in both civil and criminal matters. So civil matters include action and proceedings in equity, the common law, divorce and matrimonial causes, probate, bankruptcy, and admiralty matters. And where criminal matters are concerned, it includes treason, felony, misdemeanor, more serious offenses, and these are tried on an indictment as opposed to information or summary trials. Now, the Supreme Court, as I said, has an important role because it hears application of alleged violations of fundamental rights as secured under the Constitution. And it is here that the men who were detained for upwards of 400 and odd days were deemed to have been held unconstitutionally and unlawfully, and the court referred to their detention as executive arrest and made it clear that this was an abuse of their constitutional right, and this was an abuse of the SOEs and the emergency powers that are contemplated under the Constitution of Jamaica, because the idea is that they were not to be held for such an extended period without having the opportunity to be charged and to face the court system, right? And the court, in making its decision, also made reference to the breach of the separations of power, saying that the executive branch was trespassing on the judicial branch. So if the person who has gone to the Supreme Court is not satisfied with the outcome of their matter, then they will take the matter to appeal to the Court of Appeal. And then at the Supreme Court level, there's also the Circuit Court, and this is manned by judges of the Supreme Court, and the Circuit Court sits with a jury. And it is called a Circuit Court because it moves around, it circulates from parishes to parish, and it has a fixed schedule, and it sits for 3 terms during the course of the year, right? And it holds sitting in every parish except St. Andrew. When it is in St. Andrew and Kingston, it is referred to as a Home Circuit Court because that is where it resides. The Circuit Court, what is the jurisdiction of the Circuit Court? The jurisdiction of the Circuit Court is that it tries all criminal matters within its exclusive domain, are within the exclusive domain of the parish court. Well, that is not within the exclusive domain of the parish court. So every other matter that the parish court is unable to try, such as murder, as we have said, treason, felonies, the more serious offenses, the circuit court tries those matters. And if persons are dissatisfied with the outcome, then their appeal lies with the Court of Appeal. Now, then, of course, there's a gun court. And as I have said before, the gun court was established under the Gun Court Act of 1964. And here it has 3 divisions. That's the gun court. It can sit as a parish court, it can sit as a full court, or it can sit as a circuit court. And it is called the gun court because it is primarily concerned or exclusively concerned with firearm offenses. So any matter involving firearm offenses is heard by the gun court. At the parish level, the RM can only hold committal proceedings, determine whether there's a prima facie case, and send it on to the circuit or to the Supreme Court. And at the circuit level only hear matters of a capital nature involving firearms. So if a gun was used to murder somebody, the circuit court will hear those matters. An appeal from the circuit court lies with the Court of Appeal. That now takes us to the Court of Appeal, which is the second court of superior record. And it is also a creature of the Constitution. and it is established by Section 103 of the Constitution, which is very similar to Section 97 of the Constitution relating to the Supreme Court. So Section 103, Subsection 1 of the Constitution tells us that there shall be a Court of Appeal for Jamaica, which shall have such jurisdiction and powers as may be conferred upon it by this Constitution or any other law. So Section 103, Subsection 2 of the Constitution sets up the composition of the Court of Appeal. So the judges of the Court of Appeal shall be a president, and the Chief Justice by virtue of his office as head of the judiciary, but who, as I've said earlier, shall not sit in the Court of Appeal unless there are four judges and he has been invited to sit by the president of the court. So although the Chief Justice is the head of the judiciary, he cannot sit in the Court of Appeal without invitation by the president of the Court of Appeal. Section 103.2, the judges of the Court of Appeal shall be three other judges, and Section 103, Subsection 2, the judges of the Court of Appeal shall be such number, if any, prescribed by the Parliament. So it gives the Parliament the power to determine how many judges you will have at the Supreme, the Court of Appeal level. So the President of the Court of Appeal shall be responsible for the arrangement of the work of the court and shall preside where he is sitting, whenever he's sitting in the court. So the judge president is administrative, but if he sits in the court, then he will be the presiding judge. Then Section 103, Subsection 4 of the Constitution makes it clear that no office of judge of the Court of Appeal shall be abolished while there is a substantive holder of the office. So this is a mechanism to protect judges. This is called the security of tenure. So the Parliament, if it is dissatisfied with any decision that a judge may make, can't abolish the position of judge whilst there's a judge holding that office. So Section 103.5 of the Constitution tells us that the Court of Appeal shall be a superior court of record. So that language is similar to Section 97.5 of the Constitution relating to the Supreme Court. So like the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeal shall be a superior court of record, and save as otherwise provided by Parliament shall have all powers of such court. So the Court of Appeal consists of the President, and the President, like the Chief Justice, is appointed by the Governor General on the recommendation of the Prime Minister after consultation with the leader of the opposition. So the Chief Justice is part of the Court of Appeal, but as we have said, they are invited by the President to sit, and if they are sitting, then it's four judges that are sitting and not three. Under normal circumstances, three judges will sit in the Court of Appeal to hear and to determine a matter. Now, the other judges, like the judges of the Supreme Court, are appointed by the Governor General on the advice of the Judicial Services Commission. So again, there is insulation against political interference in relation to the appointment of judges. So the Court of if it is that there is a decision that has to be appealed from the Court of Appeal, then that appeal goes to the Privy Council. Now, in addition to the Constitution, there is the Judicature Appellate Jurisdiction Act of 1962, which establishes the appellate jurisdiction of the court, and it speaks to the court appellate jurisdiction and the functions and operations of the court. So that is the ordinary legislation that treats with that. Now, unlike the circuit court, the Court of Appeal sits without a jury, and it is concerned with whether the decision made in the lower courts were right in law, if they were sound in law, or if there were any errors in relation to the facts. But it rarely interferes with the facts of the case. It's more concerned with whether the judges were right in law or not. So the Court of Appeal hears matters from all lower courts in civil and criminal matters, right? So it adjudicates on matters of law, and it sits in an uneven number. So appeal as a matter of right on disputes concerning property of the value of $1,000 or more, and anything relating to marriage and any constitutional interpretation, those are heard at the Court of Appeal. So the Court of Appeal, if you are dissatisfied with the outcome, then you can seek leave of the Court of Appeal to apply to the Privy Council to appeal the matter there, right? So that brings us now to the Privy Council. And once you get to the Privy Council, that is the end of the road in terms of the judicial process here in Jamaica. So the judicature, or the judicial committee of the Privy Council, comprises the Lord President of Council, the Lord Chancellor, and the Lord of Appeals in the ordinary, and that's the UK House of Lords, and it sits in the United Kingdom, and all of these persons, of course, are UK persons. And the Privy Council is established by Section 110 of the Constitution, and it grants right of appeal from the Court of Appeal to Her Majesty in Council in the following cases. So the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council, Section 110(1) of the Constitution, says that an appeal shall lie from the decisions of the Court of Appeal to Her Majesty in Council as of right in the following cases. So this is critical, right? Because Section 110, for all intents and purposes, are not entrenched in the Constitution of Jamaica, but it gives a right to every citizen to apply to the Queen or Majesty in Council, right? Or to the Privy Council in the United Kingdom, where they feel that they have been aggrieved. So Section 110, subsection 1, paragraph A of the Constitution says, where the matter in dispute on appeal to Her Majesty in Council is of the value of $1,000 or upward, or where the appeal involves directly or indirectly a claim to or question respecting property or a right of the value of $1,000 and upward, final decision in any civil proceedings. So once the matter has a value of $1,000 or more, one can appeal to the Privy Council. And the appeal is not to the Queen herself, but is to the members of the Privy Council who are law lords. So Section 110(b) of the Constitution, final decisions in proceeding for dissolution or nullity of marriage. And this is saying what you can bring to the Privy Council. Section 110, paragraph C of the Constitution, final decisions in any civil, criminal, or other proceedings on question as to the interpretation of the Constitution. Section 110, paragraph D of the Constitution, such other cases may be prescribed by Parliament. So final decisions in civil proceedings where the matter in dispute on appeal is of the value of $1,000 or more, or involves directly or indirectly claim or question respecting property valued at $1,000 or more, that is amendable for appeal to the Privy Council. So the final decision in proceeding in the dissolution of marriage, nullity of marriage, again, you can appeal to the Privy Council. And any final decision in any civil, criminal, or other proceedings, whether it's a question of interpretation of the Constitution, again, you can appeal to the Privy Council, right? And any other case that Parliament may prescribe, you can appeal to the Privy Council. So, as I've said, the Privy Council is the final court of appeal. And it is not entrenched in the Constitution. Attempts to remove it have proven unsuccessful, because whilst it is not entrenched, the right of appeal is entrenched, and it is treated as a special provision, and it therefore requires a two-third majority to have it removed. So that now brings us to other courts. And here we have the Judicature Family Court Act of 1975, and this established a court to hear family-related matters except divorce, such as adoption, guardianship, custody, and paternity. So if you are interested in any of those, if you want to adopt a child, if you want to become the guardian, the legal guardian for a child, if you want to take a child into your custody or get your paternity test, then you go to the family court. And that court is presided over by two judges, as in, and is a court of record of higher status than a parish court, but lower than the Supreme Court. But in reality, the family court is presided over by one judge, right? And it is more akin to a parish court than to the Supreme Court. And usually the judge that sits there is a parish court judge. Then we have, and if that arises from the family court, then they appeal to the Supreme Court. Then there's the Judicature Revenue Court Act, 1975. And
this was established to hear appeals from taxation, from tax administrative bodies, and disputes pertaining to all revenue-related matters. And it is a superior court of record,
but
not part of the Supreme Court, but the judges enjoy the same immunity and privileges as the Supreme Court judges do. And this is not in the particular arrangement unconstitutional. And if there are any appeals from this court, these appeals go to the Supreme, to the Court of Appeal. Then now the Drug
Treatment and Rehabilitation of Offenders Act 2001 established a drug court at a level of the RM, which is a parish court. I listed out this specialized court as one of the court at the RM level, and it is to treat with, to divert drug offenders who have become addicted or who are substance abusers. So the court hear and prescribe non-custodial sentences for persons charged and found guilty of minor drug offenses. Then we have the juvenile court, and this is an inferior court established with the same procedures as the parish court, and it presided over by a parish judge, and you can have two JPs, but you rarely have that. You have primarily a parish judge is presiding, and it hears cases against juveniles or civil applications relating to juveniles in need of care and protection. And if it is that the child is 14 to 17 and charged with serious offenses such as robbery, burglary, murder, treason, then that matter is going to be sent to the Supreme Court. And then, of course, if there is any dissatisfaction with the decision in the juvenile court, then it goes to appeal at the Court of Appeal. So that's it on the hierarchy of the court system, and that is it on sources of law. And as I've said, it is important to understand judicial precedents in the context of the hierarchy of courts. They go hand in hand. We will move on from here to look at the law of contract.